Do we have a Fed pivot now then? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where that is post covering finance and property news. Well, is a great monetary pivot near as central bankers engineer a once unthinkable soft landing in the world's largest economy? It seems finally, maybe for now, Wall Street traders and the Federal Reserve are on the same page, because Wednesday was quite a day, which took an unexpected turn when the FOMC, the quarterly dot plot, or survey of economic projections, and then Powell's 45-minute press conference all came in as close to promising early rate cuts as a central bank could ever go. It smelt like a pivot was on the cards.
My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. As we approach the end of the year, it's natural to look back on the progress that has been made toward our dual mandate objectives. Inflation has eased from its highs, and this has come without a significant increase in unemployment. That's very good news. But inflation is still too high, ongoing progress in bringing it down is not assured, and the path forward is uncertain. As we look ahead to next year, I want to assure the American people that we're fully committed to returning inflation to our 2% goal. Restoring price stability is essential to achieve a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all. Since early last year, the FOMC has significantly tightened the stance of monetary policy. We've raised our policy interest rate by 5.25 percentage points and have continued to reduce our securities holdings at a brisk pace. Our actions have moved our policy rate well into restrictive territory, meaning that tight policy is putting downward pressure on economic activity and inflation, and the full effects of our tightening likely have not yet been felt. Today, we decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings. Given how far we have come, along with the uncertainties and risks that we face, the committee is proceeding carefully. We will make decisions about the extent of any additional policy firming and how long policy will remain restrictive based on the totality of the incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks.
Sure, the FOMC wanted to leave a possible rate hike on the table, and it says it intends to carry on shrinking its balance sheet by selling off bonds, which all else equal will tend to tighten monetary policy. But the direction of Powell's comments was unmistakable. The Fed is now only too happy for the markets to price in imminent rate cuts. Now, this is not what I had expected given the recent data. Remember, all the focus the Fed had directed on the so-called super core inflation, which is services leading shelter, and which was higher in November than in October on both a monthly and year-on-year basis. But no, in a rather remarkable press conference, the signals were sprinkled throughout the 45 minutes. As he said, policy was now well into restrictive territory, not merely restrictive, as he said in November, when conditions were tighter than now. And he said explicitly that the Fed would need to start cutting rates well before inflation reached its 2% target, and even that failing to do so could lead to an overshoot and slow activity too much. And he declared the Fed was very much focused on the risk of keeping rates too high for too long, having previously tried to convince the market that it might keep them higher for longer. And he told us that the FOMC had discussed when they should start cutting rates. That's a stark difference from his denials a few years ago, that the committee was even thinking about rate hikes, and declined an invitation from a reporter to complain that financial conditions had loosened too much, despite having emphasized in earlier meetings that higher bond yields and lower share prices were helping the Fed to do its job. And he had removed, reducing inflation is likely to require a period of below potential growth and some softening of labor market conditions from the November statement. And it was also reflected in the famous dot plots, in which the FOMC members indicate their projections in the form of a dot on a chart, Last time it caused a surprise by showing that a majority expected to raise rates once more this year. That helped drive a surge in yields, predicated on the notion of higher for longer. This time, while projections for long-term rates haven't changed much, the committee's predictions for this next year now show plans to move very quickly. 3 months ago, 10 members thought the Fed funds rate would still be above 5% by the end of next year, but now only think that. The median estimate has dropped by a full 50 basis points, and there is one outlier who thinks it will drop below 4%, and the members also seem confident that there's no recession coming next year. Now, as I said yesterday, the data on the last 3 months generally showed inflation slowing, but remained too high for comfort. And while the labour market loosened a bit more, it's still tight. And while goods inflation that followed the pandemic really does appear to have been transitory, it's now virtually back to zero, services inflation, covering a much larger chunk of the economy, remains roughly double pre-pandemic levels. And that's mostly driven by housing costs and service sector wages, which are in turn linked very strongly to monetary policy. Now, Powell emphasized areas that were clearly driven by the pandemic, led by the supply shocks that were caused by labor shortages and ruptured supply chains. And he also spoke at length on the need for humility. Almost nobody saw the US economy remaining so strong this year. Those of us who were wrong about a likely recession in 2023 need to re-examine the assumptions behind it. We've been wrong about growth. Maybe we're wrong about inflation. Maybe transitory is back. If so, we can expect services inflation to decline, and we can also expect rates to come down from their unnecessarily high levels to avert a broader slowdown. If that does happen, then Powell, in conjunction with the Biden administration, I guess, will have pulled off one of the most remarkable escape acts in history. The markets reacted by pushing most asset prices higher, taking bond yields lower, of course. The two-year yield, most sensitive to near-term rate cuts, its minute-by-minute move showed that it was taken by surprise. After a dive when the dot plot was published, it managed to fall significantly further as Powell spoke. And there was a dramatic shift in the 10-year Treasury yield. That's the critical benchmark used for financial transactions across the world. After almost topping 5% in the wake of the September FOMC meeting, it's now broken back below 4% and has dipped below its 200-day moving average. This doesn't invalidate the notion that yields will tend to be higher over the next decade or two than they have been over the last generation, but it strongly implies that the peak may have been reached for this cycle. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which, by the way, some would say is a meaningless indicator, hit an all-time new high, as did the share price of Apple. Sectors that benefit from lower yields, banks, utilities, and real estate, also a surge, as did smaller companies that face greater difficulties servicing their debt over the next few years, as shown by the Russell. Perhaps the most important illustration, though, comes from market breadth. This year's rally in US stocks have been top-heavy and dominated by a few giant tech companies, as is well known. But the equal weight version of the S&P 500, in which each member has a weight of just 0.2%, regardless of size, which effectively measures the performance of the average stock, and in October, it was in negative territory for the year, but not anymore. A great rally in the afternoon has brought it to a 21-month high. The shift in bonds predictably weakened the dollar, which would be particularly popular in the emerging world, and it could also mean that it'll be easier for the European Central Bank to make its own tilt towards lower rates and deal with an economy that appears in much worse shape than America's. In fact, in Germany, the heart of the Eurozone, fears that inflation might take off appear to be over. 10-year inflation forecasts briefly touched 3% last year in the wake of the Ukraine invasion. That's a remarkable development after Germany had spent a decade marred in a disinflationary slump. Those forecasts are now back well below 2%. That's the lowest since before the invasion. And the Bank of Japan, out of sync with the rest of the world, is contemplating whether to hike rates and normalise policy. And a month ago, the yen was particularly weak, trading below 150 per dollar. Since then, it has strengthened sharply, thanks to speculation about both the Fed and the BOJ. Powell essentially has successfully brought the yen back to 142.5 per dollar. And then there's gold, which benefits from falling yields and from any sense of central bank irresponsibility. One of its key purposes, I guess, is to act as a hedge against a feckless Fed. The gold price rallied sharply on Powell's words, but some excitement may well lie ahead. In the last few years, 2050 has been a kind of ceiling for the precious metal. It briefly broke through that earlier in the month, and that triggered a big wave of sales, and it's now approaching that level again. So we expect analysts to be busily upping their 2024 forecasts after this event. So it'll be interesting to see if momentum continues into the end of the year, which is likely, and whether rate cuts come early next year. The whole roller coaster just got a whole new impetus. And the consequences will spill out into other markets, including Australia, where inflation remains higher and rates lower, which may just give the RBA a headache next year. We'll see. And Thursday brings monetary politicians from the Bank of England and the European Central Bank, amongst others, where their leaders may push back against the markets more strongly than Powell did. Traders move swiftly in the wake of the Fed to price in at least 6 quarter point reductions for the ECB and 5 for the Bank of England in 2024. So things are getting very interesting. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.